salvation. And put away your indignation towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger to all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Let me hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people, to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Surely, his salvation is near to those who fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Would you join me as we pray to the God of our salvation? Father in heaven, we are so thankful that our salvation is not based on our works of righteousness, but they're based on the blameless merit of Jesus Christ. And it's through him, your Son, we come to you. Father, sometimes we feel very distant from you. Sometimes we don't feel close. But you are the God of our salvation, and you hold us fast. Father, may this place turn into a time and a place of joy and praise. May our hearts overflow with your goodness. Father, I pray you'd speak to weary hearts. Father, for those who fear you, may they feel the power of your salvation. Father, for those that just need to hear a word, may you speak to their hearts today. Father, we ask for you to send your Spirit. We ask that all the things we do and say would bring glory to your Son and to him alone. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, church. Let's stand together as we worship. This is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it as we sing.
This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice as we lift his name. This is the day. Whether the sun will shine, whether the skies will rain, I know that you are good. This is the day you made. Whether in life or death, whether in joy or pain, I know the truth remains. This is the day you made. This is the day. Rejoice as we lift his name. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come and rejoice, we will rejoice and be glad. Now I can walk in faith. You will protect my way. Your every work is good. This is the day you made. I am a child of yours. You are the one who saves. I am redeemed by love. This is the day you made. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice as we lift his name. This is the day.
This is the day. Come and sing your praise. For the Lord now reigns on the throne of grace. Soon is the day. He will bring us home. And we have His hope. For we are His own. This is the day.
Sun.
is for us. The Father's love is a strong and mighty fortress. Raise your voice now. Your love is great. And who can stand against us if our God is for us? Sing with joy now. Our God is for us.
Sing together this morning, come thou fount of every blessing. And in the second verse, there's kind of this obscure word or phrase, here I raise my Ebenezer. And what that is in the Old Testament, it's a memory stone that they put in memory of God's faithfulness. So when we sing that line, we remember God's faithfulness unto us this morning. Sing, come thou fount.
Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me so my love is sung, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain. Fix upon it, mount of thy redeeming love.
We remember God's faithfulness to us as we sing.
Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I come, and I hope by thy good pleasure, safely to arrive at home. Jesus saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger, interpose his precious blood.
There's only God's grace this morning, that's why we're here.
Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy grace, Lord, like a fetter, bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave, oh God, I love. Here's my
power to save. There's no one else has the power to redeem, restore, and forgive us.
The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from a raging sea, and I am saved.
Yeah.
It's the anchor for our soul.
as long as you are King, the one who reigns on high. We won't give in to fear, for we know who holds our lives. Let the water rise, let the mountains crumble, nothing shakes the hope we have in you. Let the sun burn out, let the stars all tremble, nothing shakes the hope we have in you. Whoa, whoa. Nothing shakes the hope we have in you. Whoa, whoa. Nothing shakes the hope we have in you. As long as we draw breath and evil roams this land, we are held by grace. We have the strength to stand and stand. As long as you are King,
as long as you are King,
the one who reigns on high,
the one who reigns on high,
we won't give in to fear. We know who holds our lives. Let the water rise, let the mountains crumble, nothing shakes the hope we have in you. Let the sun burn out, nothing shakes the hope we have in you.
Whoa, whoa.
Nothing shakes the hope we have in you.
Whoa, whoa.
Nothing shakes the hope we have in you. We will not fear.
We will not fear.
For you. Shakes the hope we have in you.
Whoa, whoa.
Nothing shakes the hope we have in you.
Whoa, whoa.
Nothing shakes the hope we have in you.
Whoa, whoa.
Nothing shakes the hope. Nothing shakes the hope we have in you. Nothing shakes the hope. Nothing shakes the hope. Nothing shakes the hope we have in you. Nothing shakes the hope. Nothing shakes the hope we have in you. Nothing shakes the hope. Nothing shakes the hope. Nothing shakes the hope we have in you.
Again, good morning. If you have a copy of God's Word, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 as we continue this sermon series about the sojourning of our faith. We are sojourners. We are not meant to stay upon this earth. We are meant for heaven, and this life is really a journey of faith. And this morning I want to talk to you about an aspect of that. It's regarding your salvation. So before you say, well, I've already been saved, I can mentally check out, I can rest, the Kansas City Chiefs won, everything's good, the sermon doesn't apply to me. Yes, it does. To the believer, this applies to you. Now, to the unbeliever, my prayer is that you would express your faith in Jesus Christ and receive salvation. But I want to talk to you what Scripture says about inexpressible joy. Growing up, there was the hymn we would sing at that small Baptist church I was a part of, Joy Unspeakable and Full of Glory. How many of you recognize that old hymn? There's a few of you. Now, again, I tried to talk to Pastor Aaron about this, and he had no knowledge of that obscure hymn. And I went back and read the lyrics. I remember that hymn being better than what it really was. So that's why we did not pursue that today. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to talk about our salvation that is an inexpressible joy. We're going to take up the reading of God's word in verse 6, read through verse number 9. We're reading out of the ESV translation. You read in whatever Bible translation you have. The words will be on the screen. In verse number 6, we'll begin. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Last week, we talked about being born again, of that aspect of our salvation. You say, well, Pastor, how many details of salvation are there? There's so many details, so many nuances of salvation. It's not just a simple, I'm saved. There's a great deal of detail in our salvations, what Jesus has done and what that means for us here and now. It's the effect that happens now, but also later. So everything Peter talks about in the text is based upon last week's message of being born again, about receiving salvation. Already born again, let me give you the bad news. You will go through hardships. You say, Pastor, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You will go through hardships. However, on this journey of faith, the way Peter describes our salvation, he says there's really three layers of salvation as we're going through hardships. And I want to explain those to you. The first layer of our salvation, three layers of joy, is really this. Number one, you rejoice in trials. The text in that first portion of that says, in this you rejoice, your salvation, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. Now, in the midst of hardships, in the midst of testing or trials, whatever translation you want to choose, to the believer, let me say this. This life will be marked by difficulty. Now, I don't preach the prosperity gospel. I don't say everything could be well if you just have faith. Listen, sometimes life is tough. I mean, hasn't your sports team ever let you down? That you say, well, Pastor, not now. Last year they did. What about the year before that or the year before that? Now, sometimes we have difficulties. Now, not just in sports, but in life. Sometimes we get bad news from the doctor. And then we're not saying rejoice in the trials. Now, if I get a letter from the IRS in a couple months that says you owe more money, I'm not going to be like, ooh, thank you, Lord, I got it going. Ooh, my faith is growing. I don't rejoice in that. I don't rejoice in physical hardships. I rejoice in my salvation. So think of it this way. In the midst of trials, in spite of trials, I'm going to rejoice. Because no matter what happens on this earth, my salvation is based in heaven. Peter says that we can rejoice right now. Don't let your trials stop you. Peter says you can rejoice. That means to give praise, to give thanks. In other words, jubilant exaltation. You say, Pastor, why is that so? Because we're saved. And also the way Peter writes these words, he says, though now for a little while, gives us two thoughts. Number one, our time on earth is temporary. Number two, your trials and tribulations, hear me, are temporary. We just got to get through this. Sometimes whenever you're having a bad day, you're just ready to go to bed, if I could just wait 2 more hours, I can go to sleep. This here is a run-out-the-clock situation. Now, I'm almost done for the day. And that's the way we should approach the journey of our faith. When we're facing trials, hey, we are saved. The problems we have here and now will not last forever. They are temporary. And I rejoice in the midst of trials because we're saved. In this you rejoice, in your salvation, not the trials. James chapter 1, a great verse. I would love for you to memorize it. It's very short. You can see it on the screens in the ESV. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you fall or meet trials of various kinds. I memorize it in the King James. Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall among various trials. You say, well, there's some trials that aren't as bad as others. There's a whole variety of stuff you're going to go through on this life. For the believer, what gets you through is your salvation, your relationship with Christ. Because your finances will diminish. Your health could diminish. The people you love could leave you. The very things you hold dear may fall apart, but here's what will never fade or diminish: your salvation, because it's based upon Christ. Our lives, our focus are based upon Christ, not the trials we face. But here's the problem, believer, to the saved individual in the room. Sometimes we get sidetracked or really distracted with the trials, don't we? And I think that's natural. We come and we say, hey, what should we pray about? Hey, my health, I got bad news. Or pray for my family, they're having a difficulty. Now, those are natural things, but the problem is we gravitate all of our focus upon them and not the joy of your salvation. In the Psalms, several times, which I did not put in the scripture or the sermon today, restore unto us the joy of our salvation. Now, oftentimes that's written because of sin. Sometimes sin gets in the way of your joy. I would say repent, come back to God immediately. Don't get sidetracked with trials and miss the big picture. I don't know how many times in college and seminary I thought, you know what, it'd be a really good thing for me to quit. I would love to drop out right now. And my wife lovingly responded to me, we've got too much invested for you to quit. Every step of the way, I thought, man, this doesn't help me get any smarter or get a better job. I just need to quit. And sometimes we get so focused on the pain and the struggle, we don't see the big picture. So for those thinking about dropping out of college, don't do that just yet. Just wait. It gets better. Sometimes we miss the big picture because of the details. My friend Derek, who is serving at a church, we work together in the recreation ministry. And in every aspect of ministry, there's always the mundane, the minor things you think, I'll never have to do that once I get a higher ranking job. We talked about that this week. The staff, we were moving chairs. I'm the lead pastor, but yet I'm still the chair moving minister. It's always been that way. When I went and I was a senior pastor, of that small farming community church. I painted. I went to Sam's. I did all the things. I thought, I'm never going to have to do that. And there I was doing that work. And so Derek and I, we worked in recreation ministry. And Derek had a weak constitution. He could not handle certain smells and certain things grossed him out. And he would almost faint. We were in the midst of baseball and softball season, and a young man who had some disabilities created a mess in a bathroom. And his family, he was an adult, his family was very embarrassed. And Derek's like, I'll handle this. I'm like, okay, go ahead, Derek. And he walked out, and he's like, I can't handle this. And I said, hey, I used to be a dishwasher in a buffet restaurant. I can handle this. And it's unusual how I could handle that. It didn't bother me because I knew that family was very embarrassed because of their son. And so I cleaned it, didn't worry about it, and they thanked the staff for helping them in their time of need. Now, that prepared me for being a father. Okay, now my wife is not here, but she is my witness via YouTube streaming that whenever the kids were sick, they just had this ability to find me. And I would just catch it with my body, not necessarily my hands, although I did at times, and you can ask my wife. I was just the magnet for that. And I just handled it. I embraced it. Now my friend Derek, we had our sons about the same time. In the fall of 2009, his son Camden, just a few weeks older than Abram. And the weak constitution never changed. So his wife Sharon's like, Derek, could you change his diaper? He says, yes, babe, I love you. I can handle it. Guess what? He can't handle it. He would gag. And some of those videos you see on the internet are the funniest videos of fathers gagging. Now, Derek can say, oh, I can't get through this. It's a struggle. And if all you focus on is the nitty-gritty, the dirty stuff, the stuff that's hurting and painful, you miss the big picture of fatherhood and miss the big picture of family. And to the Christian, sometimes you get so sidetracked with trials and the pain that you miss the big picture and the journey of our faith. An integral part of that is salvation. And this layer, this top layer about the joy of salvation, your joy in salvation rejoices in trials. It makes sense to the Christian. To the unbeliever, it doesn't make sense. But let's keep going. Hey, we got to move along. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's go back to verse number 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The joy of your salvation rejoices in trials, but the deeper layer of hardship for you, it reveals genuine faith. This is much more than rejoicing in trials. Now it's the, let's see what this person is made of. Your faith is not found in the mountaintop experiences when you're physically and monetarily blessed. I'm going to find your faith when you hit rock bottom. That's when we see what you're made of in trials. A person's faith is revealed. The question about someone's faith, is it genuine? That's what Peter says, the genuine revealing of faith. And he uses gold as an example. Other places in Scripture, it talks about the heating of precious metals to remove the dross or the waste material. So Peter describes our salvation in these terms. At some point in your life, as you walk with Jesus Christ, your faith will be on trial. And it'll be tested, is this person's faith genuine? So I looked up smelting gold. Now, I have watched Gold Rush on Discovery Channel, but I looked it up through Ohio State University about the smelting of gold, the heating of this precious metal to make it more pure. After smelting, the gold becomes more and more pure, but it's not acceptable for market if it contains other minerals. It's no good unless it's tested. Most of the mining process is done improperly. We'll have a vast array of materials, but they want the precious material of gold. All profit from gold, listen, is based on purity or genuineness. So the weight is verified. Large companies will smelt the gold on site to cut down on cost, but smelting involves high pressure. It involves high heat. Not only that, they're going to introduce other chemicals to break down the ore and the waste, and they're going to separate the gold from the impurities. This description of gold that Peter gives us has to go to the high heat. The person, the believer, has to go through trials and tribulations. The gold has to be heated to over 1,000 degrees Celsius, or that'd be 2,100 degrees Fahrenheit. To find your faith, to see if it's genuine, you got to go through heat. Your salvation, as you go through the testing of life, will reveal genuine faith. Now, if you write in your Bible, if you write in the margins, write down Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, tested by fire to reveal genuine faith. Beautiful example. Now, this testing of your faith brings three results. Number one, your faith will be proven. It's going to prove how deep. Is it genuine? Is it real? Number two, your faith will be purified. The things that don't matter in your life when you serve Jesus will be left behind. In this last 2 years, my family, we've moved two times. We have boxes that we do not know what is in them, and sitting in our garage. And many of you have given us sound advice: throw it away. If you haven't used that in 2 years, guess what? You don't need it. No, we're still going to save that because we might need what's in that box. We had that approach, and then we were trying to organize our home better, and we looked in the box, and it was full of wrapping materials and plastic wrap. Junk. Throw it away. When we are living for Christ, when our faith is tested and found genuine and becomes purified, the things that don't matter will get thrown out. Your faith will be proven. Your faith will be purified. And the third result, the testing of genuine faith, the revealing of genuine faith, this faith leads to praise. In this text, verses 6 through 9, you can see the words rejoicing, the words glory and honor and praise. You can't escape the fact that the saved people can't but help to praise the Lord Jesus. We shouldn't have to drag anybody to church to worship, because those who've gone through hardships and revealed genuine faith, that just results in praise. You can't help but love Jesus and lift him up. Now, the full revealing of faith or your salvation won't fully be achieved until you stand before Christ. That's what these verses say. You'll have aspects of your salvation you'll have here and now, rejoicing, revealing, but it won't be fully realized in completion until you stand in heaven with Jesus. Just the way it is. And now, salvation is past, present, and future. The three layers of joy from salvation: rejoices in trials, it reveals genuine faith. But James chapter 1, back in verse 1 and 2, or excuse me, verse 2 and 3, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall among various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, or steadfastness, it says in the ESV. The testing of your faith. You can't grow in Christ in your salvation unless you go through the heat, unless you go through hardship, unless you go through difficulty. Back in chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The third layer of joy coming from salvation, number 3, results in a closeness to Jesus. All the difficulties, all the struggles, all the pain, all of this pushes the believer closer to Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, don't they become bitter and hold a grudge against God? Sure. But a true godly salvation pushes us closer to Jesus Christ. No matter the trials, no matter the hardships, no matter what we're going through on this journey of faith, salvation gets us through. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat this. Sometimes all we have in this life is our salvation. Sometimes we have nothing else. But if we have Jesus, we have everything we need. Now, these trials, these testing, they can hurt. But in the process of your salvation, the experience of your salvation, this brings you closer to the heart of Christ. That's why he says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. He doesn't say, come to me, all those who got it all together. Oh, you got it figured out? Okay, come to me when you're hurting. He says, come to me, and I'll show you my heart. In the text, there's 3 ways we draw closer, or 3 ways that salvation is expressed practically. Past, present, and future, Peter describes this. He says, though you haven't seen him in the past, you love him. So an expression of your salvation is love, specifically to Jesus. Then he says, you don't now see him presently, but you believe in him. You have faith. And the third expression, the third way we draw close is praise. We haven't and we don't see him. But the Holy Spirit through Peter says that's when we find joy unspeakable and full of glory. And finally, we see, Peter says, the outcome, our salvation in the end when we stand before Jesus, past, present, future. Paul also talks about this, that I've been saved, I'm being saved, and I will be saved. Results in a closeness to Jesus. Excuse me. This last week, my friend Josh Gray passed away. 40 years old, he lost his physical battle with cancer. We worked together, we went to seminary together. I can remember we were interns, and so we had to move chairs. We had to do the jobs no one liked to do. And I can remember he took Greek with Dr. Shackelford, mistake number 1. Don't ever take Greek with Dr. Shackelford. And he said, I'm about to quit. And I said, well, what's your grade? It's in the 50s. It's an F. I was like, man, just stick it out. All you need is a D. That's my pep talk. Hey, just don't fail. And I kid you not, I think he got a C at the very end. But it was like talk him off the ledge, wanted to quit every Friday because we were there working late. And we had a great friendship, his wife Lori with my wife Annie. Josh had a heart for the inner city. He was an FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes representative for an inner city school. Most of those guys, most of those athletes did not have a father figure in their life. They never heard concepts of faith. And so when they saw Josh, a guy who'd come to their football games. We fed them meals. They looked up to him. And I can remember Josh coming and telling me, hey, one of my guys signed a scholarship offer from Indiana. I mean, a huge deal. These guys didn't go to college. Their families didn't go to college. But it's just the joy Josh shared. He helped me when I was pastoring smaller churches, helped me with revivals. He lived a long distance away, so I said, we need to meet up and plan this revival. And so you say, Pastor, where did you meet at? We met at restaurants. We're Baptists. We're going to eat somewhere, and we're going to talk about the work of the Lord. We met at Cracker Barrel and talked about revival. And then yesterday, Lori sent my wife a message with a picture of us from a Mexican restaurant. He got some artwork from my wife to put into Le Bonheur Children's Hospital's fundraiser that my wife donated because their daughter was born with a heart defect and it caused deafness. And so there's a dramatic story of faith. And she sent the picture to my wife, said, hey, I found this old picture. And it's Josh wrestling with my son, Andrew, at a Mexican restaurant. He lost his physical battle with cancer. You know, sometimes when people get the news of cancer, sometimes it's like, hey, this is treatable. We can pursue healing. Now, with him, from the get-go, they said, this is not good. From the onset of the news, Josh, his wife Lori, his two girls, Ridgeway Baptist, they all said, we will praise him. He's had numerous surgeries, numerous opinions. It got to the point they said, we're out of options. The next step is clinical trials. You want to roll the dice? He said, yeah, we'll roll the dice. But he also said, I will still praise him. The outcome of his faith is Jesus, and he experiences his salvation greater than you and I could ever know, because Peter tells us our salvation is inexpressible and full of glory. What we have on this earth is all that we need. If all we have is salvation, glory be to God, the God of our salvation. And maybe you don't have that joy. Maybe you don't know what it is to walk with Jesus. I'd love to speak with you. I'd love to encourage you to explore what it means to have a relationship with God the Son. Maybe there's other decisions after salvation you've never pursued. I would love to encourage you. I'd love to speak with you. I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you say, Pastor, if you knew what was going on in my life right now, the trials I'm facing, the hardships I'm going through, you would look at me differently. I would say this. Let's pray to God to restore the joy of your salvation. And part of that, cast your burdens on some other people. Come and pray with me. Come and pray with someone after service. Let's lighten that load on this journey of faith. And how do we do that? Because God has a heart for us, that he gave us his Son so that we could be saved. If God the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and drawing you to him, make that decision today. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you that we can experience your glory now. We can have a joy that's beyond words. Lord, I pray for the believer in the room that's going through the problems of this life. Father, would you remind us they're temporary? Would you give strength for the moment? Father, may we fall back upon our salvation through the trials. Maybe it's the testing of our faith that's going on. Father, would it reveal a genuine faith from you? Father, as we look toward the ends of our journey on this earth, we can't wait for the final revealing of our salvation. Lord, as we grow older, may we grow closer to you. No matter what comes our way, may the redeemed of the Lord say so. May we come back to you, the God of our salvation. Father, for our church, for our small groups, for second service, restore unto us the joy. Father, in the hardships of this life, may we praise you. May we love you. May we believe in you. May we walk with you. Father, may we be your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand together this morning. If you need to make a decision, the altar is open for you. If you need prayer, there will be elders and deacons at the front to pray with you as we sing.
How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only Son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen. You may be seated. So we turn to our time of giving this morning. Reminder that when we give unto the Lord. We give as an act of worship to him. He gave everything. And so in response to him, we also give everything. And giving of our finances is part of that, of stewarding ourselves to the Lord, our great shepherd, as he leads us. You can give the traditional way. You can give with the offering envelope, and you can place it in the box on the way out the door, or you can give online, fbcneosho.com, or through our church app. Both have portals to online giving or to establish recurring giving in that way. Well, we do have an option now to get notified. Maybe you aren't on social media or Facebook much, But if we have a weather cancellation or something like that, you can get notified. And so what you want to do is take out your smartphone. If you want to do this right now, you're welcome to. You just text JOIN to 417-203-7796. You can catch that slide afterward, too. But if you want to opt into text messaging, we're not going to use it real frequently like we do the church app notifications or social media. It'll be more for church-wide big events or for any weather cancellations we have. But you'll receive those occasional notifications if you opt into text giving or text notifications. There's a reminder to check out our website if you haven't yet, fbcneosho.com. Stephen did a great job totally rebuilding our website from ground zero, and so I'm excited about it. It's a great resource. There's also an option there. We have live streaming like we've done on Facebook always, but now our live stream is also connected to YouTube. And so it's within our website, embedded within YouTube. You can go watch live on our website or subscribe on YouTube, or you can catch past messages right there as well. We have a couple of deadlines coming up, and so I want to make you aware. The women's retreat, the deadline is today, okay? My wife told me there's over 20 women going, so that's exciting to have that going on. The deadline for the women's conference to sign up March 3rd and 4th is today, and so you want to make sure you sign up for that if you plan to go. And then the Sweetheart Banquet. We need to get a final count on this. The deadline is Wednesday, and so please RSVP on our website, or if you don't know how to use technology, feel free to tell myself or Stephen or Marcus that, hey, I'd like to be a part of that. It's for young marrieds, 40-ish or so. So if you're in the 40-ish or so and below, we'd love to have you for that. And then one final thing, we're about a month away from our sportsman's banquet. There's a prayer calendar over there by Pastor Marcus on the table where you see the listening devices. And so what we're asking today is that you would commit to pick a day to pray for the sportsman's banquet. There's a calendar on there. Put your name on there that you will submit to sign up to pray on the day that you've given. I already signed up for it. I've got the 23rd coming up. I got it in my calendar as a reminder. It's going to pop up. I'm going to pray for the sportsman's banquet that day. So make sure you sign up for that the Lord would move and work that weekend of the sportsman's banquet, that he would draw the lost to himself. Well, it's been a great morning to worship. Let's stand. We're going to close with this scripture from Colossians 3, 16 and 17. This is one of my favorite passages of scripture. Let's say it together. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You're dismissed to head to your Connect First groups.